Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. It's 11 minutes past the hour of 6 and that time of the evening of the Friday of the 24th of April 2026. This is your platform from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. That is Eagle FM. And we are greeting you wherever you are. Are you home? Are you going out? How is the Friday? And there are those who, by 1 o'clock, they have already started with their Friday. And while we are enjoying yourself, while you are busy, also connecting, networking, make sure that this should not be the last Friday of any other Friday. Make sure that you are enjoying it with the future in mind. You are making decisions based on the future. Because it will be right if we can all be able to think about tomorrow. We can all be able to think about the future. And that is the only way that we can be able to invest in long-term investment. And we can only be able to invest in long-term, plans, and that can be tangible without forgetting about the current moment. Because if you're only strategic and you are not tactical, you're also going to suffer, because you cannot sacrifice the future over the present, but you need to find the balance. So today, like any other day, we discuss business. We look at economics, and I'll be in the conversation with Caroline Kondombo. She's a spokesperson and a consultant. Particularly from the business of, the manufacturing business. And I'm always happy, particularly when I see and I meet with Namibian business person, particularly young entrepreneur that are looking at the areas of manufacturing, to say the aspect of Namibia importing toothpicks in US dollars from other countries. That is really an insult to our economy. And we can only do that, we can only change that if we come together and understand that there is no harm in entering the uncharted territories. There is no harm in making sure that when it comes to manufacturing industries, you are not offending anybody. You are just showing that you will be able also to get into that context. And from our conversation with Caroline, particularly in that context of, Laverne sanitary business, from there, you will also be able to listen to a very interesting conversation, especially when you see when the big boys of African leadership and also economic power, when the political power and economic powerhouse come together, there is nothing that you can change and there is nothing that you do. And that is exactly that what we have been waiting for a very long time in Africa. We listen to the conversation of the richest man in Africa, that is Aliko Dangote, in conversation with two African presidents who say no to exporting of raw materials, who say that they are losing more money from exporting raw materials, where you have the like of Yoweri Museveni. Yoweri Museveni continue to surprise us. When he's getting old, I think we should learn why the man is alive, because if you compare him with other African leaders, the only thing that you maybe say he did not do well is the fact that he had been there for a very long time, but the wisdom and the infrastructure that he put there, you'll be able to understand that he said no to exportation. Every mineral that is found in Uganda, currently as we are speaking, is being processed in Uganda. Currently as we are speaking, they have around 9 active commissioned refineries. They are refining their gold and they are making more money, and they are one of the fastest growing economies. And you see that Aliko Dangote, I think now he's opening up, because he did not have any support, especially when he was starting. But now he has money and also influence, where you see that, African leaders are also waking up. And I think our president should really be supported, particularly when she also indicated that we must stop this thing of pit to pot, the consumer economy. But it must be stopped in practical, where you have an alternative to say, why do I have to export all my gold if I can build a refinery? Do you know that as we are speaking, even if Bank of Namibia started with a very important, move of making sure that they are buying gold so that we can be able to pack it or to make sure that we support our financial stability. Because if you attach your finance or financial system to gold, it's very difficult for the system to collapse, because gold is an ever-standing, commodity. Even though we are mining gold in Namibia, for that gold to be purified 100%, we have to take it somewhere. We have to take it to South Africa so that it can become 99% pure, and also to other countries. You're still going to pay more money. Imagine you don't have 100% in your gold mine, and you don't have a refinery. By the time you have a purified gold, you have lost a lot of money while you are trying to protect money. But Museveni made the calculation and say, no. The uranium that they have discovered in Uganda, it must be underground until the generation studied and come out. If the investor want to finish that product at home. And I think it's the right move, because we have rushed into decision that give us 2% in the country, in a decision that give us 5%. But you really finding it very difficult to find out the direct impact in that people. You know, interestingly, in South Africa, wonder shall never end. There is a Minister of Social Development who is also under fire. That is Madam Sisi Talashe. She indicated that she will not step down. When you look at the case, she is being accused. She allegedly took a gift from China, that is two luxury vehicles, and they were donated to ANC, but they end up in the hands of her family members. And the minister of social development, she's saying she's innocent, and you really say that not really to accuse the elders, but things which are happening in South Africa, it's not only a movie, but it's a series of different episodes. And you now see that maybe the action will be taken, because I've indicated this morning to say South Africa now has two ministers of police. One is on suspension, but still a minister of police. One is an acting minister of police. You have two national commissioners. One is suspended. The top cop is suspended. Then there is an acting top cop, acting national commissioner. Same with deputy national commissioner. There's a lot of things happening there. And the only man who trained carefully and smoothly, I think Ramaphosa still has his cuts. And the question that you're only asking is for how long? Because it's undeniable that there's something wrong within the system. There's something wrong within the system. That's why you see young men at the age of 36, former CFO, with the wealth, unimaginable wealth, and how he got that, if you have to calculate somebody who is full-time employed, and even if you are a consultant, you really do not operate at that level. But for now, let us look at the conversation between me and when I'm going to be joined by Caroline Kondombo, especially when you are speaking about Namibia and also manufacturing businesses. Those who did not only stand up and watch why other people are doing business, but they also entered in that territory. So after a very short commercial break, then we'll be in conversation with Caroline Kondombo. Stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 1900 hours.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Audio mnangeshefa no haraku shivifa oma kuroye kupitira muhorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukuru olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali ohe tatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM,
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
staff. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
I'll shortly be joined by Caroline Kondombo, who is a sales consultant at Ravelin Sanitary, and she is one of the ladies that are doing the most, particularly in the manufacturing industry. You speak about sanitary products, and she is going to engage us because there have been a discussion to say Namibians, we are not doing anything. We focus more on consumers' economy. But there are also those who are in the line of making sure that when it comes to finalization of products and also supply to Namibian market, then they are doing the most. So in this context, we'll be joined by Caroline Kondombo. Caroline, thank you very much for joining us at Business and Economic segment. And good evening, and how are you doing?
Good evening, Mr. David, and thank you for having me today.
No, it's always a pleasure to interview entrepreneurs, particularly when we speak about expansion of Namibia's domestic economy. Now, let us look at Ravelin Sanitary and how it came about. But before we go to the business itself, maybe just a short introduction of yourself and also about the business and also how it's functioning.
All right. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be today at Eagle FM. My name is Caroline Kondombo. I'm the sales and marketing consultant at Ravelin Sanitary, a proudly Namibian brand that produces reusable feminine and maternity care products. Our product ranges includes reusable sanitary pads. We have panty liners, maternity pads, as well as breast pads, all designed to provide comfort, dignity, and sustainability. Mm. These products are mainly for our teenage girls, our women, and our mothers.
Mm-hmm.
At Ravelin, our goal is not only to provide quality products, but also to contribute to the menstrual health awareness, environment-friendly solutions for women and girls in Namibia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a quite very interesting business that you came up with, particularly in that line. Somebody may want to ask a question because, just to simplify, on area of entrepreneurship to say, what problem are you solving? Why does it matter? And also, what motivated you to come into that business, particularly when it comes to sanitary products and that journey? If I make my question clear.
Yes, yes. Thank you, David, for the question. Lavan Sanitary is addressing the challenges of limited access to affordable and sustainable menstrual products. Now, a report by the Ministry of Health together with the Ministry of Education states that 14.2% of girls miss school due to the lack of sanitary products. So this is not only affecting girls.
Yeah.
Also, our women in the community do experience a shortage, or you are in a village deep in the village and you're not able to access these products.
Yeah.
So our reusable products offer now a cost-effective, long-lasting and environmental friendly products, alternatively allowing women and girls to manage their menstrual health with dignity while also reducing waste. Mm-hmm. This matters because menstrual health is directly linked to confidence, education and overall well-being for women and girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very good thing. And you know, those days when we were growing up, we did not understand how things were working. And you find really young boys bullying kids just for,
yes,
you know, missing their days and all these things.
I know.
But now let us look at the product itself, and also let us look at how are you making those products. Maybe if you just have to explain, to say, because people look at, they go to Pep Store, they go to any other, they look at these things. These things are from America.
Okay.
We can stay free. We can also see that now men are buying for their ladies also,
yes,
the products. But let us look at what do you use to come, yes, up with these products?
Yes. So our products have multiple layers.
Mm.
It's a reusable product.
Yeah.
We use 100% cotton,
yeah,
on the products.
Yeah.
Easily accessible also,
yeah,
in Namibia.
Yeah.
And we produce them right at Lavan.
Oh.
The production is being done there. The good thing is our products are also tested by NIP, well approved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a healthy product. It's not going to cause you irritation. It's breathable material. So the production, it's leak-proof, meaning it's not a product that will leak. I know there's a myth about using clothes whereby someone will be like, if I use a clothing material like back in the days, will I not have this experience?
Mm-hmm.
No, now technology has advanced. And with that being said, we have advanced our products as well. And it's in good health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, somebody may also want to know, to say, how did the journey came about, particularly with the business, and also at what scale are you standing now? As are you an SME, or how long the business has been operational? For example, are you an SME? Who are your direct clients? Are you supplying to regions? So at what level you are before we go to the aspect of Basecamp?
Yes, we have been operating since 2018.
Okay.
And our business model is that we have clients, individual clients, as well as companies that will purchase for corporate social responsibilities,
yeah,
or as well as company wellness. The businesses will purchase for their employees.
Yeah.
So we have direct clients and then business-to-business model also.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and now what I want to know is the aspect of growth. At what level are
at
you?
At what level? We are still at the stage of being an SME.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We are just increasing our production team as well. The team is still growing.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't say we are there yet at that level yet, but we are still, we're still crawling there. We are getting there.
I'm interested, especially with the production part.
Yes.
Do you also have men that are working in that industry? Are you using machines? Are you how?
Yes.
How
actually, I left that part out.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't have men. Men, please come out there in numbers and come support women and produce these products for women.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have men in this industry at the moment yet, or yet employees.
Yeah.
But we use machinery, so the sewing machines. If you go,
hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I wonder why it's called a hot dog. I can eat them day or night. Let's squeeze some tomato sauce on this bad boy and enjoy. Ah, no! Now I've got tomato sauce on my dog, my watch, and my favorite shirt.
Sometimes you just squeeze too hard and your favorite shirt gets ruined. But luckily, with Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Use machinery. So there's sewing machines. If you go there, it's an industrial.
Oh.
Yeah, the ladies are busy there. They are cutting, they are measuring, they are. Yes, it's the testing. It's hectic. It's a busy space.
I think the aspect of the men part must also come in because, we are all in this, game, together.
Yes.
That is called life. And, you know, when you start growing up, you realize that, things that we used to laugh at school is really not, making any sense. And,
yes.
Disturb people's schools too.
Mm-hmm.
But we also see that area, particularly with sanitary pens, you see that it's also an area which more on corporate social responsibility. I think it's a good niche for business.
Mm-hmm.
But now let us start with the aspect of incubation center.
Yes.
Particularly the assistance and also the help that you get from base camp.
Yes.
There has always been you know, different views to say, no, Namibian businesses are over-mentored, they stay long in the incubation center and all these things. But now, what is the impact of Basecamp Namibia, particularly to the operation and the standing of your business?
All right. Through the STG Impact Investment Facility,
yeah.
Lavan Sanitary received a valuable support that helped strengthen our operations. We were assisted with office furniture, stationery, and equipment, which helped us to set up a more structured working environment. In addition, Lavan Sanitary was assigned a mentor with experience in manufacturing.
Yeah.
Her guidance has been very valuable and useful, and it has helped us improve our process, strengthen our operations, and ensure that our product standards remain high.
Mm.
Having a mentor who understood the manufacturing sector truly makes difference for growing businesses like ours.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, with Basecamp, apart from materials, did you also enjoy the networking part? What other assistance did you get, particularly in terms of exposure?
We did also get exposure as into the work environment where we are currently at Pokomoso.
Yeah.
We are with other people that are also in the incubator center where it's now a landing on each other business models whereby if I need printing, I go to, for example, I would go to the next business that is doing a printing business there. If there's something that is needed there. So we rely on each other. There's exposure. We don't hustle anymore. You just know that, okay, I need what, call who.
Mm.
You need this, call what service.
Yeah.
So in terms of exposure, it really did us good. We do receive calls also from other businesses, companies that need orders. And yeah, it put us on the map, to quite say.
Mm-hmm. Now, entrepreneurs, there is always a journey of dealing with challenges within the business. Let us look at some of the challenges that you have to overcome. Because by looking at the thing is that, I look at the model of your business, I'm quite very happy that you identify that problem. And I can say it's a sustainable business to look into because you can operate that business for 100 years.
Yes.
Yeah, and unless you change in terms of the way you do things. Now, let us look at the aspect of challenges. What are some of the key challenges that you have faced as a business?
Yes. The very first challenge I would talk about is the bringing the product into the market.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, this is a product that was ancient,
mm-hmm.
and we brought it back and modernized it.
Yeah.
Now, there's still stereotype of, I don't want to touch blood, or, you know, people still have that stereotype of how am I going to use this product?
Mm-hmm.
So there is that thing that we still need to get over it.
Mm.
People need to be educated and be aware of how the product is useful, the effect of it, and all the benefits that it comes with.
Mm.
And now some of the other biggest challenges we have experienced are in some cases still and that we are still experiencing include market access.
Yeah.
We do have challenges as into to getting approved to certain things. It takes long.
Certain standard that you have to be approved.
Yes. And it takes longer.
Mm-hmm.
Sourcing materials and meeting compliance requirements also.
Yeah.
So now accessing markets as small manufacturing business can be challenging.
Yeah.
Especially when you are introducing a product that is still new to many people.
Mm-hmm.
Another challenge that has been is sourcing packaging boxes.
Yeah.
And certain raw materials locally.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these are not always readily available in Namibia. We do our boxing, we get them from overseas. Mm. And having to have this product arrive in Namibia takes you around about 3 months. And mm-hmm. how many people are ordering while you're still waiting for the boxes? So these are the challenges that we have. And in some cases, we have to import materials from South Africa again, which can sometimes cause delays. We also have to navigate compliance process such as textile testing and certification.
Mm.
And not all the services are always available locally. So some of the testing has to be done in South Africa. This process requires time, patience, and financial investment.
Yeah, it's a good thing that you brought about the aspect of regulations. There has always been indication that it's costly to do business in Namibia. Regulations are very complicated.
Yes.
Some entrepreneurs, they give up in the process. You know, I was at MTC Marketing and Branding in Damba when one lady from Rwanda said, no, for you to register a business in Rwanda, it takes about 3 hours and everything is already in order. But do you think compliance should have been simplified, or do you think is placed as a barrier to do business? Apart from now complying to say it's a health product, complying to say it's regulation, do you think it's sophisticated for you to do business? Is it?
I would say it's a 50-50 thing.
Yeah.
I think if an entrepreneur is well educated about their business, they know where to go for what and what to do when, then it will be an easier thing.
Yeah.
But there are people that you have a great idea really that is scalable, but you don't have knowledge on where to start.
Mm.
So this becomes a challenge for all those procedures that are yet to follow, because you go find out maybe 4 years into operation that you were supposed to do something maybe 3 years ago, which is another setback.
We understand it's a Namibian business.
Yes.
The other time I was speaking to somebody again from a base camp, and I was so happy to see that Namibian are entering what used to be called foreign territories.
Yeah.
Even somebody come up with a young person come up with an insurance company. Now, how did the market receive you? How did the market receive you, either in terms of competition, in terms of people too? You can also speak about, you can also add on what you have said regarding the product, but how are you received in the market, particularly when you introduce a new product? Did you feel alone, or you had the support for business to come and also collaborate with you? What is that? What do you have to say about that, particularly to speak about Raven Sanitary?
To be quite frankly, I wouldn't say we are entirely alone.
Yeah.
Because there are other companies that have their reusable products, but not similar to what we have.
Mm.
But the journey to being in the market and how people have been receiving us have been mixed emotions, I would quite say.
Yeah.
There are people that from the get-go, if you just say Laven reusable products, they are good for it, they are down for it.
Yeah.
But there are people that you still need hours to convince and make understand that, hey, we are a real deal, we are a big deal. A very important thing is that when it comes to reusable product, this is a product that will save you money.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in a very tough economy.
Yeah.
So having to buy a one pack that is 85 Namibian dollars will save you 5 to 3 years of reusable pets that you'll be buying almost every month of spending.
I think it's a good thing. You know, yesterday I was discussing with somebody who said sometimes people, and it's not to banish anybody, sometimes people sell product that they know that after 2 days you can still come for the sake of continuation of business. But I think your product is, tell me something about rural village girls, particularly with this product.
Yes.
Especially where you have, you are still in Namibia, but when you look at other part of Namibia, you really get shocked to see that some people are still far behind. They still do not understand what's going on, and children continue to not coming to school. To maybe school. Speak about your product and the village child girl. How can it assist on that aspect?
We have also targeted schoolgirls in the hostels outskirts of Windhoek before we have handed some of our sanitary pads to certain communities that don't have access to sanitary products at disposal. And it's of great benefit because let's say, for example, you buy a pack, you have only three reusable pads and your period starts. You know that you are sorted for the next 3 years, like I said, or next 5 years. You are not going to be worrying about, oh my goodness, I still need to rush to the grocery store to go get these pads.
Yeah.
Or no, all you just need to do is wash, take good care of them, and you are good to go. So they are very good for people that are in the rural areas and also for sanitary purposes. Instead of just using a product and just dispose it like that, it's keeping you and your womanness in one space.
I think you are also doing very well for climate change. You are
Actually.
Environmental protection. Yes. I think it's cutting across. Now, let us look at the future. Let us look at the future to say if things are going according to plan. Let me say things have gone according to plan for the next 5 years. Where are we going to see Laven Sanitary? Yes.
Laven's slogan is walking in confidence. So we are going to walk in confidence into various African countries.
Yeah.
Definitely, it's going to be a great open market and we will definitely branch out, not only be based in Windhoek and other places as well.
Mm.
We are looking at so many, exciting opportunities to come.
Yeah.
So people must just watch the space for Laven Sanitary.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming.
Yes. Then I always ask entrepreneurs that I interview, particularly to give advice. If there is somebody out there who has a business idea, but people are scared of regulations entering the business, and also what people are going to say, what advice do you have to those entrepreneurs who want to enter even into manufacturing? What advice do you have, particularly to somebody who has an idea, but people are just timid to move?
Yeah.
Mm.
My advice will always be to start.
Okay.
Start as an aspiring entrepreneur.
Yeah.
It's very important to just start with what you have.
Mm.
Just be consistent. Build a business. It takes time to build a business, actually. But just start, be patient and resilient.
Mm.
It's also important to seek mentorship. Where you feel you are lacking, always link to people that you know can build you, people that you can learn from. Have partnerships and attend programs that support entrepreneurs.
Mm.
You know, these are like Basecamp and the Startup Namibia. There's so many other opportunities there.
Mm-hmm.
Because these opportunities can help you grow faster and avoid certain mistakes.
Mm.
Most importantly, believe in the value of your idea and the impact it can have. Even when the journey becomes challenging, just put your foot down and you know, keep going.
Yes, Caroline Kondombo, last word that you want to leave our listeners, especially those who are again in the manufacturing industry and those who want also to either to, you know, there is always somebody who want to assist. Particularly, I've seen, especially corporate social responsibility, and there was a discussion about tax-free of sanitary. I was following in Parliament where people were also debating to say, no, I'm the one who introduced the motion. But the motion is make sure that every Namibian lady is going to school. It's not about who started the thing of free text. But maybe just the last way that you want to leave Namibians, particularly in the area of manufacturing, and also those are in business.
All right. In the manufacturing, we are the future of the country.
Mm.
All to all listeners, business gurus, we are the future of our country.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep learning.
Yeah.
You know, for you to be in a certain industry, you need to have knowledge. It's just not something whereby you decide you want to create a shoe and you start making shoes and so on.
Yeah.
You need to know about creating shoes.
Mm.
So let's learn, let's be educated and...
Why pay more when you can pay less at USave stores? Enjoy nutritious and delicious meals for the whole family. 4 kilogram real good frozen mixed chicken portions for only $199.99. 5 kilos rice king, $99.99. 500 grams rama, 70% fat free, $26.99. 700 milliliter Wellington's tomato sauce, just $26.99. USave, where good food costs less.
Let's be educated and surround ourselves with materials and be having useful tools that can grow us. To other companies, CRCs, please do come through for us.
Yeah.
Because we want to reach to the unfortunate people, especially in the communities of areas where people don't have proper sanitary access.
Mm.
We truly want to have access to such people. We have a plan on visiting certain towns as well.
Mm.
So if the CRC people can come through for us, the companies to be specific, will really appreciate it. It's going to not only take heights for sanitary, but also for a Namibian child.
Yes, Caroline Kondobo, thank you very much for joining us, and continue doing what you are doing. And I'm always indicating, particularly with the business that you are doing, to say that is a chance of a sustainable business, because the service that you are offering can continue for the next 2. Yeah, that was the conversation, to say when others are sleeping, when others are putting on legging and all star convent so that they can dance the whole night, other ladies are busy doing business, a real business, legally, professionally, and the business that is sustainable. If all Namibian people, we can think that way, if we have leaders who can drive us that way, if our concern is not about the order has arrived or not from abroad, if our conversation is not about the order has been stuck between China and Namibia, or between the Middle East, or there is a change in the terms of price, that would be a different conversation, because African leaders have realized to say, no. This thing, it's finished our fuel. It's finishing our stamina. Continue depending on other people. It's finishing our stamina. Why can't they come and work together? If we are not agreeing on 50-50, there's no mutual beneficial relationship. Had there been a mutual beneficial relationship, Africa wouldn't be where it is now. So, I want you to just shortly to listen to Aliko Dangote. He does not only have money, he has a brain too. And you see, when great minds come together, the discussion is always about progress. Because you look at, I don't know about Museveni, you look at Dangote, he's a billionaire. You look at Ruto too, he's a successful business person. He's a billionaire before, politics. But they speak about infrastructure. They speak about, no, Africa cannot continue doing that. But they are not saying we must. They are saying we are doing. It's not about we must do value addition. They are saying value addition is happening now. Museveni said when they discovered uranium in Uganda, he said, no. Apparently Canada came. And it's not me who is saying. We were going to listen. Canada came to Museveni. He said, no, we have uranium in Uganda. Museveni said, what? Yes, I know I have it, but we are going to use it if you are not going to process it here. And they have oil that they are using. But I think Museveni also understand economics. Because before politics, before he became a guerrilla leader, he was assistant lecturer at one of the universities in Uganda. But let's look at Aliko Dangote. With Ruto, William Ruto, and also Yoweri Museveni. And he's calling them my boys. He's calling them these young men. It's a very, not really advanced age, but he has just been around.
It will work. There's nothing that can stop it. We have done the one in Nigeria, and that's why we are taking the bold move, which we have started already. Piling has started. We are building that one to a scale. 1.4 million barrels a day will give us will be the largest refinery in the world. That's number one. Number two, we'll have 10% of the entire United States of America's refining capacity. And this is coming with a lot of, petrochemicals. And if you look at it today in Nigeria, if not because we have polypropylene, all the businesses would have collapsed, because cement is packed in polypropylene, flour, rice, grains, everything. So nothing. And the cost now has shot up between just 45 days, from $900 a ton to $3,000. That's no way you can afford it. So that is why we must learn how to build self-sufficiency. Right now, we have big financial institutions that are very hungry for big ticket items, and we are also big in terms of our own vision. You know, I mean, before, there's nothing that, any one of us will sit down and say, no, I want to build something like, when Samaila was heading our finance, long time ago, this was 2005, we were even paying 44% interest rate in Nigeria. We had to go to IFC to raise money. Was our first loan abroad was 478 million. And this thing can be done. 478 million. Samaila gave them a calculation that, okay, we need 3 years loan. They said, no, you guys, you don't know what you are talking about. You need 7 years, 2 years moratorium, 5 years payment. We said, okay, we agree, because we are desperate for the money. When we took that money, we paid it back before the expiration of the moratorium, which is 18 months. We have been 24 months, but we paid the money back in 18 months. So it is possible. Africans can do it. Let us not be scared. Let them not come and convince us that, no, somebody needs to carry our raw material to go and produce and bring the items here. I must really thank President of Uganda for taking this bold move. Stopping the export, they will be forced. They will come and produce. Why do you want to take the raw material, then you bring it back? We too, we have educated people. We have big financial institutions. It's not like before. Things have changed.
Thank you for that. I'm cognizant of time. We don't have enough time.
Hope,
oh, President Ruto, yes.
I'm happy that my Minister for Minerals is here, Hassan Joho. You know, I hope you have heard the
I see more plans.
We are not exporting anything raw going forward. And the instructions are very clear that our minerals. You know, for the record, sit down, was it? For the record, we had Base Titanium, one of the companies. They were exporting titanium out of Kenya. They exported everything close to the mines, and we got nothing out of it. Very little, you know. And the future generations are going to ask us, there was titanium in Kenya. What happened to it? And we will have no answers for it. And that is why, going forward, we've been very clear as a government that the rare earth that we are now looking at, all the other gold issues and the whole mineral sector, we are not going to export it raw anymore. With clarity. And that is why, as we build the refinery together, this conference is also how are we going to take charge of all the other minerals in our region that are today being exported in raw form. How do we create an ecosystem here that also creates better beneficiation of these minerals by processing it here and driving the industries that use these minerals to come here and work with us? Because in any case, and that is, allow me to say what, why we cannot fail. It is not possible for us to fail. Even with the refinery, it is not possible for us to fail. Why? Because we have the raw material. We have crude. Number two, we have the market to buy the product. You know, we are currently importing the product from all over the place. So we have the market to sell. Number three, we have the capital to build it, to develop it. And we have the industrialists to help us run it. Why would we fail?
That's a fair question.
Amen.
President Museveni, I'd love to hear your perspective, especially as you're getting set to be an oil producer. How do you see this changing your economy? But also, how do you assure beneficiation for your economy, as President Ruto was just speaking there? Well, and the region, excuse me.
Our strategy is already clear. We shall build the small refinery which we had planned of 60,000. That will be 180,000. Of course, this was for the internal market of Uganda and for the parts of Tanzania and parts of Kenya which are near Uganda because of the transport costs. But the surplus oil we shall contribute to the East African refinery, the one of Tanga. And as I told you, this is just from 40% of one of the five. So we have got more oil. So when that more oil comes, we shall contribute to the refinery in Tanga more, but also must own it also. It cannot be owned by the coastal states only. It must be owned by... regarding the other minerals, I can tell you, for instance, the uranium. We have got a lot of uranium. A Canadian company came and said, I want to take the uranium. So where are you taking it? to abroad. But I have had a rumor. What are you going to do with the uranium abroad to generate electricity? But I have had a rumor that there are some human beings here. It's not confirmed, but I have had a rumor that there are some human beings here who need electricity. Why don't you start with those? The man disappeared, they never came back. So the uranium is in the ground. You the grandchildren, you will get it out if we don't get it out. It's there for you. That's the same story with the gold. I banned the export of gold. Now, there are how many refineries of gold now? There are now 9. Imagine, this, the one we are producing in Russia, is it a kilo or what? No. The one they gave me, is it a kilo or what? Yeah, but what is it, the weight? Now, if you export gold unprocessed at 4% pure, you get $60,000 a kilo. If you process, like we have done in Busia, just on the other side of the border, you get $110,000.
$168,000.
Now imagine. Yeah. From 60 to 168. All that money is lost.
Yeah.
And the jobs.
Yes.
And then there we are using our...
Yeah, that was just part of the conversation. Museveni is saying the strategy is already clear. And I think it's a lesson to learn from here. To say if you want to create employment, you can create employment with a consumer economy. And those who have been getting raw materials, we must really not push them out, but they must respect us too. To say enough is enough. Let us come to the table and discuss to say you can still make more money because you know the technical know-how. But that thing of exporting and we don't even know and visit where you are processing the thing is not going to work. But I think we are getting there, surely, and with time. But that brings us to the end of our conversation. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. We leave in the good hands of Mtuma team. Kapate katoka and I'll fly. Bye bye. Enjoy your Friday.